again in Acts chapter 20 this morning. Acts chapter 20 this morning. Do you have your Bibles? Hope you do. We started last Sunday afternoon, preaching a New Year's message, a fresh start or a friendly reminder or going forward. You can title it however you would like. We'll probably preach on that this morning and this afternoon as well. Finish it up this afternoon, hopefully. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul is in Miletus, and he calls the Ephesian elders of the church in verse number 17 of Acts 20 to remind them of some very important truths that they need to continue to practice or remember. And I believe as we can take a look at this passage, and we can certainly see some truths or instructions that will benefit you and I as well. To begin reading in verse number 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Now, I understand what's taking place here. I know that he is speaking to the leaders of a church, overseers of a church. I understand that. But if you are saved, you're a parent, you're a husband, you should be an overseer of your home. And so we can certainly draw some practical application from this passage of Scripture. And so it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath planted with his own, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this," Paul is not saying that this could happen, or this is some kind of idea or premonition or thought that he's had. He said, "I know this." This is a certainty. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible and for the opportunity to read a portion of Scripture in our hearing this morning. I thank you for the good services that we've already had, the good Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer time together. Thank you for the congregational singing, Miss Tammy singing for us this morning. All of that has been a tremendous blessing. We've come now to the preaching part of the morning service. I pray you will help us. I pray you would give us liberty and understanding and insight. Help us, Lord, to say things that are helpful and needful and that are edifying to the body of Christ. I pray you would help us to refrain from saying anything that would be contrary to what you would have us to say. Lord, use us to be a blessing to your children. And Lord, if there's someone here that is not saved, the message today is certainly not geared towards the unsaved, but may something be said that would spark an interest in the heart and the lives of individuals that may not be saved, that they soon would be. Lord, we'll certainly thank you for that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 28, I'll certainly not repeat the sermons from last Sunday, but last Sunday morning we talked about taking heed to yourselves. And obviously, we certainly need to take heed to our spiritual condition. If you're not saved, you need to be saved, and I wouldn't continue to wait on that. I would just go ahead and trust Christ as my Savior and get saved as quickly as possible. Amen. If you are saved, you ought to be mindful of your spiritual condition, and you ought to examine yourself, and you ought to have a desire to live in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. We talked about taking heed to our physical condition. I think it is, the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. That doesn't mean that we ignore it. That means that there is some profit in bodily exercise. And so may the Lord help us to take heed to our physical condition. Then we talked about a third thing, taking heed to our sanctified condition, our separation. May the Lord help us to have a desire as believers in Christ to be separated from the things of this world and wickedness and ungodliness and live our lives in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And so we talked about taking heed to yourselves. Now in that same verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. And then the next phrase is this, and to all the flock. So Sunday afternoon, we talked about taking part in the flock. And so not only do we need to take heed to ourselves, we need to take part in the flock as well. Now, I've already mentioned I'm not going to repeat the sermons from last Sunday. I'll just mention one thing. Your faithfulness not only affects you, it affects all the flock. The same thing is also true. Your unfaithfulness does not only affect you, it affects all the flock. And so may the Lord help us to not just take heed to ourselves, but that He would also help us to take part in the flock. I use the exact same 3 points for that topic, and that is this: we need to take heed to their spiritual condition. I'm not saying that we're going around questioning whether or not someone is saved, but we certainly ought to be inquisitive about someone's need of a Savior. Just because somebody comes to church doesn't mean they're saved. Just because somebody is religious doesn't mean that they're saved. We all do take heed to their spiritual condition. And we're talking about taking part in the flock. We're talking about taking heed to their physical condition. There's things that those who are able should be willing to do or to provide for those who are unable. Amen. And so there is a physical need as well. And then we talked about taking heed to their sanctified condition. I think it is all of our responsibility in the home. It is our responsibility to teach and train our children. The Bible says to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we ought to be busy doing that in our personal lives, in our homes, in our churches as well. And may the Lord help us to be desired to be in that kind of ministry. Now, we'll look at the third thing this morning from verse number 28. The Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Now, the last part of verse number 28, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Now, listen, the church is precious. The church is valuable. In fact, the church is so precious and the church is so valuable to God that the only price that God would accept, the only thing that would be able to make this purchase was the blood of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord cares deeply, He cares greatly about His church. Now, He wants you and I to be certain that we not only feed ourselves the Word of God, but it is also important that the church is fed the Word of God. Now, I've already mentioned the fact that the church is valuable, the flock of God, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are an extremely valuable commodity. And because of that, we need to be continually fed the Word of God, and we need to be continually maintained or maintenanced by the Word of God. You have a vehicle, it would behoove you to practice regular maintenance on that vehicle. It would last longer, it would probably operate better, you would get better service out of it, more longevity. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a valuable commodity, and we need routine, regular maintenance from the Word of God. If we don't get that, the same thing is going to happen to us that happens to our vehicles. You're going to fall apart. You're going to break down early. You're going to have needy and costly repairs that could have been avoided if you had received regular maintenance from God's Word. Now, that goes back to being faithful. It's not just faithful, you being faithful in your personal life. and your personal devotion to God, you should also be faithful to the house of God, where you can get some routine maintenance for yourself spiritually, amen, and for your family. Now come to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're talking about feeding the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Notice verse number 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." And so there is responsibility to feed the flock of God. Now, in our home, it is important that we love each other. It's important that we enjoy each other's company. It is important that we have fun together. It's important that we work together. But we also must be involved in feeding ourselves and our family the Word of God. There's no excuse for it, amen. And without that maintenance, there is going to be some needy repairs down the road that are going to be extremely costly. And so may the Lord help us to see that need. In Sunday school class, it's important to have fun, but you make sure that you feed those children and those young people the Word of God. In children's church, it's a blessing. Folks take time to work with the children. It's a blessing that they have crafts, they have activities, they have fun, they have fellowship. But whatever you do, make sure that you feed them the Word of God. We have to make sure that the flock is fed from the youngest to the oldest. In our church services, we enjoy singing. We enjoy fellowship. We enjoy praising the Lord. But there can be no compromise, and there can be no departing from taking time to take a Bible and feed the flock the Word of God. I would not be a part of a church that majored on singing. I love singing. I love congregational singing. I like choir singing. I like individual singing. But I would not be a part of a church whose major was on singing. I wouldn't go to a church that had more singing than they had preaching. I wouldn't go to a church that had more activities than they had ministries and preaching. Why? That is what we need to be involved in. We need to be involved in feeding the flock of God. We have gotten to the place where the average Baptist church has all kinds of, and I'm not against gimmicks, I'm not against activities, I'm not against any of that stuff, but we have quit being involved in the ministry and started using gimmicks to get people to church instead of just preaching the Bible, amen. And so whether we have a large crowd or a small crowd, by God's grace, as long as he allows me to be the pastor, I have a major responsibility, and that responsibility is to feed you the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice something very important here in verse number 2. I'll read verse number 1 again. Well, I'll just read verse number 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Now, he mentions a few things here. First of all, notice he says, not by constraint, but willingly. Now, listen, at the home, I know the context again. I know, again, we're talking about elders feeding the church. But I want to tell you something. You, as a parent, you have the oversight in your home. Amen. You're an overseer in your home. And so you ought to be involved in Bible study, in Bible reading and devotions in your home. Amen. And so you ought to be involved in feeding the flock of God, your flock in your house. And then you come to church, we'll be involved in feeding the flock of God in the church house. Now, look, we don't do that by constraint. We do it willingly. Now, so here's what that means. No one is making us do it. We're doing it because we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and our new nature has a new hunger and a new desire. And that new hunger and that new desire ought to be for the things of God. Amen. And so we're not doing it by constraint. We're doing it willingly. We need the instruction of the Scripture. Now, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now, as a pastor, I'm sure that there are those who are. I never want it to be about money. And a proper pastor, it's not about money for him. And listen, the meaning here is not that it is wrong to compensate a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. The meaning here is that the pastor is not to allow those with deep pockets to determine what he does or does not preach. We are to preach the Word of God. Regardless if you have or have not, or whether you're prominent or not, or whether you're rich or poor, I'm not going to, by God's grace, change the message, water down the message, leave out the message to deter the preaching of the Word of God. My responsibility is to feed the flock what thus saith the Lord. And not because someone wants me to not preach or to preach on a certain topic. In fact, if you ask me not to preach something, that's probably what I'll preach the next sermon. And not because I am bullheaded or rebellious, but because I don't want to be guilty of standing before God not having preached all the counsel of God. Amen. And so, listen, we do this because we're concerned for your spiritual condition. We're concerned for the spiritual condition of your family. We're concerned for the spiritual condition of the congregation. And we understand that it's God's heritage. And we are to be examples to the flock. Amen. And so you take heed to yourselves, you take part in the flock, you make sure the flock is fed. Now, come back to our passage in Acts chapter 20. And we'll read verse 28 again, but we're going to look at verses 28 and 29, or 29 and 30. The Bible says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Now, I mentioned earlier when I was reading it through the passage, in verse number 29, Paul said, "For I know this." So this was not some fuzzy feeling that the Apostle Paul was having. It wasn't some thought that just rushed through his mind. It was something that he knows either by revelation from God or by experience. Because he said this, "For this I know, that after my departing." Now, I will say this. I'm not certain if this is referring to after he leaves the church of Ephesus, or if this has to do with him actually dying. And I say that because this, the uprising that happened in the church of Ephesus, didn't really happen until, or didn't really take place until after Paul's death. And so he said, I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves are going to try to destroy the flock. Now, he said, "They'll enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, I want you to notice something in these two verses that I believe is vitally important. I want you to notice how quickly things can change. In verse number 28, we are encouraged to feed the flock. And in verse number 29, the very next verse, we are warned that there are those who will want to destroy the flock. And so we ought to be involved in feeding the flock. And one of the reasons that we should so desire to feed the flock of God is because just around the corner, just around the bend, just one day on the calendar, sometime in the near future, there's going to be those who's going to want to destroy the flock. And so God help us to be involved in feeding the flock. Now, remember, whether it's whether it be the flock at your house or this flock at the church, one of the main reasons that we must labor in word and that we must have a constant diet of the word and that we need a continual maintenance from the word of God is because there are those who want to undermine and destroy your faith in the things of God. And so your children don't just need to know about God, they need to know Him. I have been lately, I have talked or had knowledge from several different men and several different pastors and several different things, how that their children, they grew up, they know all the books of the Bible, they can quote all of the verses, they know the Romans Road, they know this, but when they reach a certain age, they are gone, they're vanished from the church house, their life is a wreck, they have no desire for the things of God. I'm afraid a lot of times there is a knowledge about Him, but there's no knowledge of Him. You know things about Him, but you don't know Him. I think it would behoove us as parents and leaders in the church to make sure that people don't just know about Jesus, but that they know Him. And the reason that that is important is because there are people who want to destroy your children's foundation in the things of God. You have a desire to teach them and instruct them, and thank God for that. There's not many who do. But just as sure as you want them to learn, there is a school system out there, or there is a friend out there, or there is a job down the road, or relationship down the road that wants to undermine everything that you instilled in them. And so you better be having a steady diet, a consistent diet of God's Word and continual maintenance from God's Word, because there are those who want to undermine. And in the church house, the reason that it's important that we preach the Bible and not preach our opinion is because you're going to go to YouTube and you're going to watch things and you're going to watch preachers that preach doctrine contrary to this Word. And so you need to know what this Bible says before you start brainwashing yourself with stuff that's not true. Amen. How can we do that? Well, you're going to have to be faithful. So it's important. It's important to remember the need to feed, because there are those who want to destroy. Let me just ask you a question. Do you want to be involved in feeding and helping and protecting the flock? Or are you going to be part of the crowd that wants to destroy the flock? There are those who are interested in the maintenance of the flock. And then there are those who are involved in sowing discord and gossiping and complaining and refusing to fellowship with certain brethren. Listen, you're not feeding the flock. You're out to destroy the flock. And so by your choices, by your words, and by your actions, are you involved in feeding the flock or in destroying the flock? Now, come back to our text. Look at verse number 30. Look at verse number 30. Verse number 30 says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And so not only are there those on the outside who want to destroy the flock, it is also possible for folks to get on the inside who want to destroy your flock. And so to my knowledge, we don't have anyone here that's trying to spread false doctrine or undermine the church by drawing away a following to themselves. But if you know someone like that, I tell you what would be a good thing for you to do, that's let me know. And it may not be that they mean to. It could just be that they're not properly instructed. It might not be at all that they're trying to cause trouble. It may just be an area. Let me ask you, have you ever thought something that was not true? Was there ever anything about Scripture that you thought you understood and later you learned that you were wrong? Could very well be the case. It may not be any animosity there at all. And so we want to follow the book the best we can. Amen. Now, I hope there's no one here trying to cause trouble or trying to cause division or trying to disrupt the unity. If there is, let me know. Amen. That's the proper thing to do. Now, again, I'm preaching a New Year's message. I don't know of any trouble. Praise the Lord. I don't know of any disunity. I don't know of any bickering and fighting. I don't know anybody trying to teach their pet doctrine. I don't know anything about that. But if you love the Lord and you love this church, and you do, you should let me know. Amen. Why? Because we're trying to protect the flock. Amen. Now, it's not that we... Now, you say, "Preacher, does that actually happen?" Well, there's 300 Baptist churches in Surrey and Carroll County, not to mention all of the other churches. And so, obviously, it's rampant. You know, the majority, this is a very... And you know, Satan is very clever in what he's doing. He wants to divide us. And if Satan can divide, and I'm not, he wants to divide us as a local group. He wants to divide all of us who are collectively the body of Christ. He is out to cause division. That's exactly what he wants to do. And so when we're divided, we're weak. And the body of the Christ, the church as a whole, not just Bearshore Baptist Church, the body of Christ as a whole is very weak today because there's so much division. And because of that division, men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, again, I'm not, our church, listen, we're not the only church. I think we're the best church. I think we're the greatest church. And you may not, that's your problem. And so, I'm not saying that there aren't other churches that are good churches and like-minded churches and churches that are involved. And some churches do things better than other churches. I get all of that. I'm not saying anything wrong about that. I'm not trying to be critical. I just want to give you an honest assessment of the majority of churches. Satan would love nothing better to destroy them and to destroy us and to disrupt our unity and cause us to have a split and when those things happen, it don't just affect our body. It affects the whole body. And then it affects the lost because you've been witnessing to people. I've been witnessing to people. We've passed out hundreds of thousands of tracts in the years that I've been here. And there's no doubt that some of those are still in somebody's drawer or still in somebody's nightstand or they're still hanging on a refrigerator in someone's house. You know, those mailers that we sent out. I've seen those things everywhere. I've seen them in the back of people's windows, on their vehicle. I've seen them in businesses that I have visited. I have seen people. I even had a guy to come to my house to tell me, look, I got one, and he put it right in. Listen, people have those things. You know what Satan would love? For this thing to just blow up and for people to get mad at one another and the church split and the preacher leave and the congregation get mad. And listen, it don't just affect us. It affects the community. It affects all of those people you've witnessed to. It affects all of those people I've witnessed to. It tarnishes the name of Christ. Amen. It's a new year. God help us to be faithful to the things of God and the Word of God. Amen. And so, listen, I'm, may the Lord help us. Amen. None of that's in my notes. I'll give you my notes. I'll print them out and give them to you. Here's what I was going to say. The sad thing is there are so many churches that are not involved in any kind of outreach ministry at all whatsoever. They are Calvinistic by their actions, even though they would declare they're not Calvinists. And a majority, they don't have anyone who is biblically qualified for leadership in the church. And it's just a mess, amen. They have no missions program. They have no goals, no vision, no work ethic to improve those conditions. You know, the majority of churches, I mentioned just a moment ago, I was trying to do a little bit of an inventory this week. The majority of the churches in our area were not started because we needed a new church plant. They were started because there was a church split. And, you know, there's splits and splinters and all of this everywhere. And, listen, brother, these things just ought not be, amen. And with all of this division, we got to stop dividing and start working together. We can accomplish far more together than we can ever accomplish separating. And so may God help us to work together and serve together. Now, so watch out for the grievous wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, look at verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn. Now notice this word, these two are everyone, night and day with tears. Now notice here that Paul said for 3 years, he did not cease night and day to warn everyone. Now, I certainly believe that Paul warned everyone that was lost of their need of a Savior. But I also believe that he warned everyone that was saved about numerous things in their lives as well. And so you and I, we need to warn everyone, warn. Everyone, warn. I don't know how you say that word correctly. Hopefully I got it right. It sounds like I'm saying warm, or maybe I just can't hear. Amen. Now, we need to warn everyone night and day. We need to warn our families, our friends, our neighbors, our town, our community, and the entire world about their lost condition and their need for a Savior. And may the Lord help us to do that with tears, with compassion, with brokenness. And not all, but most professing Christians don't seem to have a lot of compassion anymore. There are some. I'm not making a blanket statement at all whatsoever. But there was a time when Christians used to be broken over sinners. There was a time when they would witness to their friends and their loved ones with a broken heart, with tears in their eyes, and with a tremble in their voice, and they would request prayer in the congregation for their lost loved ones, and they would do it with brokenness in their heart, in their life. They would sacrifice, they would fast, they would pray and witness to them with tears of compassion because of fear that they would die lost and spend eternity separated from God. When was the last time you wept over a soul? Now, I'll tell you what we're guilty of a lot of times. A lot of times when we get broken over someone that is lost, we're weeping because of the life that they're living is causing us trouble or causing us stress. Instead of weeping because that soul is going to spend eternity in hell if they don't get born again. And so, man, may God give us again a burden for souls that need to be saved. When was the last time that you were deeply burdened because of someone's sinful condition? So we need to warn everyone that's lost. Second of all, we need to warn everyone that is saved. Paul is constantly and continually throughout the New Testament, he's cautioning born-again believers against false teachers and their doctrines. And as Bible believers, we must constantly guard against false doctrine and false teaching in our own lives and in the lives of others about the same. Amen. May the Lord help us to do that. Now, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I think this is something that we could be better at. I think we should warn believers that the Christian life isn't all fun and games. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know, as the songwriter said. And I want to say this as well. My life now is 100 times better than it was before I was living for the Lord. Maybe more than 100 times. Look what the Bible says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Now, in this passage here, Paul said we're weak, we're despised, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're naked, we're buffeted. We have nowhere to live while we're laboring. We're being reviled. We are persecuted. We're defamed. We're made as the filth of the offscouring of the world. Doesn't sound like a pleasant life, amen. So living, I believe living the proper biblical Christianity is not always a bed of roses. You're going to have to be willing to suffer a little bit of ridicule and persecution. And you're going to have to be willing to go against the norm and stand against what everyone thinks is right sometimes, amen. Of course, God is right, the Bible is right, and the Word of the Lord is right, amen. And so we got to stand with the Bible. We got to be prepared for that, to stand firm against sinful lusts and the desires of our flesh. Listen, this flesh is not yet redeemed, and it is still just as sinful and wicked as it's ever been. And if you don't try this. If you gave it liberty, you would surprise yourself of what it would do. So don't give it any liberty, amen. and keep it under subjection. But so there's this constant battle without and this constant battle within, and there's this daily struggle between the new man and the old man. And may the Lord help us to warn believers. I'm warning you. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. There may be battles that you don't understand and fights that you don't understand and troubles and trials that you don't have any idea how you're going to get through them, what you're going to do. But I'll promise you this, the grace of God is sufficient. The Bible says, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not suffering a great deal of persecution in this country. And I praise the Lord for that. I'm not asking for it. I'm just telling you that if you're going to live your life in such a way that brings honor and glory to God, everybody's not going to be happy about it. But live for the Lord anyway. You'll be happy about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of these days, unless we die suddenly and unexpectedly, we're going to be laying on a deathbed. Like I have sat beside and talked with so many that's gone down that road. I haven't talked to any that made a lot of comment about what they had acquired or what they had gained or what they had accomplished. It's always been, I wish I had done more for the Lord, or I wish I would have mended this relationship, or I wish I'd have had more compassion. More time. Listen, your day's coming. Unless the Lord comes and we are privileged to leave here in the rapture, or unless something happens and we die suddenly, I think the worst thing you ever suffer is regret. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Talking about warning. I'm not almost finished, but I'll stop in a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, notice the phrase, warn them that are unruly. You know what? That's not a suggestion. That's a command. You and I that know the Lord, that are saved, we're to be feeding the flock. One of the things that we're to do is to warn them that is unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. I have zero respect for anybody who mistreats those who are feeble-minded. Support the weak. Here's one. Be patient toward all men. You ought to be as patient with others as you want them to be with you. And listen, I'm just going. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow after that which is good, both among yourselves, now notice this, and to all men. Now, the Bible says here in verse number 14, warn them that are unruly. That's what caught my attention to this passage. And so we need to warn those who refuse to follow the rules. I'm not just talking about man-made rules. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I'm talking about following what thus saith the Lord. Following the Bible. I know that the society that we are living in, they're accepting all kinds of sinful ways and ideas and activities and methods and means and all kinds of stuff. But we're not going to accept that just because the world does. We're going to continue to go by the Bible, amen. And we're going to warn you when you don't do that. We're going to warn the unruly. And so biblical rules and the rules of the land are in place for our protection and our benefit. Those rules are not in the Bible to suppress you. They're in there to protect you, amen. And so may the Lord help us to be willing to follow what the Lord says and to be willing to tell others as well to follow the word of the Lord. Now, in this passage, it also says we need to comfort the feeble-minded. I think we should certainly be involved in doing that. We should be supporting the weak and be patient toward all men. Patience, it can be a difficult thing. I think that I have gotten better at being patient. And then a car pulls out in front of me and does 5 miles an hour till it turns off 2 minutes later. And I realize that I'm not as patient as I thought I was. But we need to be patient towards all men. You know what that means? That means that there's things that's not going to go our way. There's relationships that's not going to go the way that we wish they would have. There's going to be situations and circumstances in our family and our home and in our church that we wish would have went differently. And if we're not careful, we will cease to be patient with all men. And it'll bring a mess, amen. So God help us. We need to take heed to ourselves, take part in the flock, make sure you feed, watch out for grievous wolves in sheep's clothing, warn everyone night and day. We'll continue the sermon tonight or this afternoon, the Lord's help. We'll stop right here for now. Get the piano.